You Forever by Tuesday Lobsang Rampa, read to you by Blue Friend, September 2016. Lesson 30. Many people have the idea, a most mistaken idea, that there is something wrong with work. Many civilizations are divided into white-collar workers and those who get their hands dirty. It's a form of snobbery which should be eradicated because it turns brother against brother and race against race. Work, no matter whether it be brain work or manual work, is ennobling to those who do it with a clear conscience and without a mistaken sense of shame. In some countries, it's considered to be a disgrace if the lady of the house lifts her hands to do any form of work. It is thought that she should sit about and look pretty, and perhaps give a few orders now and then to show that she is the lady of the house. In old China, in days long gone, the upper classes, so-called, grew their fingernails ridiculously long, so long in fact that often they would have special sheaths to protect the nails from accidental breakage. The purpose of the long nails was to show that the owner was so wealthy that he didn't have to do anything at all for himself. The long nails was proof positive of his inability to work because the lady or gentleman of the house, the wearer of the long nails, could not even attend to his or her bodily needs and had to have servants to do everything for him. In Tibet, before the communist invasion, certain of the noblemen, who should have known better, wore sleeves so long that they completely covered the hands and dangled perhaps 6 or 12 inches below the fingertips. This was to show that these men were so important and so wealthy that they didn't have to work. The long, long sleeves were a constant reminder that they couldn't work. This, of course, was a degradation of the real purpose of work. Work was a form of discipline, a form of training. Discipline is utterly necessary. It is discipline which makes a difference between a crack regiment of soldiers and a disorganized rabble. It is discipline in the home which makes it possible for youngsters, teenagers, to be decent citizens when they are no longer teenagers. A lack of discipline makes for hordes of leather-jacketed young morons who are only bent on destruction. We mention Tibet as being one of the places where there were wrong ideas about work, but that is only among laymen. In the lamaseries, it was a rule that everyone, no matter how exalted, had to do menial work at certain stated times. It was, before the communist invasion, no unusual sight to see a high abbot cleaning a floor, cleaning up rubbish deposited on the floor by the lowest of monks. The purpose of this was to teach the abbot that things upon the earth were things of a temporal nature, and the beggar of today might be the prince of tomorrow, and the prince of today might be a beggar tomorrow. Some point might possibly be drawn from the fact that many of the crowned heads of Europe and elsewhere are no longer kings and queens and princes ruling countries, But then one has to reflect that many of these former crowned heads and presidents have made very sure while they were still in power that they would have ample funds for when they were no longer in power. However, that is a digression. Let us state again that work, no matter what kind of work, whether menial or mental, is uplifting and never degrading when it is done with pure motives and with the idea of service to others behind it. Instead of applauding those gilded ladies who sit and autocratically dictate to ill-paid servants while not lifting a finger themselves, we should applaud the servants and look down upon the gilded ladies, for the servants are doing something honorable. The gilded ladies are not. We heard a discussion quite recently, a somewhat heated one, about meat eating. Our own point of view is that if a person wants to eat meat, then let them eat meat. If a person wants to be a vegetarian, climb trees after nuts, then let them be a vegetarian. And yes, let them climb trees after nuts. It doesn't matter what one eats or what one does not eat, so long as they do not inflict their often erroneous opinions upon others, who may be too polite to object violently. Man is an animal. No matter how much we disguise the fact with fine clothes and beautiful powders and hair dyes, men and women are animals. Meat-eating animals, too. In fact, the flesh of mankind tastes, according to all reports, something like pork. Many people behave in a rather piggish manner, so possibly that's quite appropriate. Cannibals, when asked about human flesh, say that the black man's flesh is rather sweet and like roast pork. The white man's flesh is apparently rather rancid and sour, like a joint that has gone off. We suggest, then, that if you want to eat meat, do so. If you want to eat vegetables or grass, do so. But do not at any time inflict your own opinion on others. It's a sad fact that those who are vegetarians or health food addicts are often extreme in their views, as if, by the very vehemence of their argument, they will convince themselves. It seems to us very decidedly that many of these people whom we personally regard as cranks are uncertain that they are doing the right thing. They do not want to miss anything. But they do not want to be vegetarians themselves if they think that other people are enjoying meat. It is often the case with non-smokers. Non-smokers often resent greatly that another person does smoke. They seem to think that there's something exceedingly virtuous in not smoking. Actually, it's just a matter of choice. Smoking in moderation probably never hurt anyone, but drink, intoxicating liquors, does harm people because it interferes with their astral. We say in connection with this that, again, if a person wants to drink and injure their astral body, well, that's their choice. It is definitely wrong to try to use any forceful persuasion to change the path of another person. While we're on the subject of eating meat, etc., which entails killing, let us mention another point which you may find of interest. Some people say that one should never kill even an insect. they say one should never kill a cow or a horse or anything else which has life in it. It makes us wonder if we are doing a grave ill when we kill a mosquito which threatens to infect us with malaria. It makes us wonder if we're doing a crime against the living world, if we have an injection against any virus. After all, a microbe or a virus is a living organization. Should we, then, out of our sense of righteousness, stop trying to kill tuberculosis germs? Stop trying to kill cancer germs? Are we great sinners in trying to find a cure for the common cold? In trying to cure any illness, surely we're taking life. We have to be reasonable about all this. The vegetarians say that we should not take life. Now, a cabbage has life. So if we tear a cabbage from the ground in order that we may eat it, we're destroying life which we cannot create. If we take a potato or a stick of celery or anything else, we are destroying life. And as the vegetarian destroys life quite as much as the meat eater, why not let us be sensible and eat as the body needs? Meat? It is often stated that the good Buddhist does not eat meat, and we must hasten to agree that many Buddhists do not eat meat, and often the reason is that they can't afford it. Buddhism flourished exceedingly in very, very poor countries. In Tibet, for instance, meat was an unheard-of luxury, which could be enjoyed only by the richest of the rich. The ordinary people had vegetable and sampa. The vegetables, too, were a luxury. The monk, who was not addicted to luxury, lived on sampa and nothing else. But to make it taste better, the leaders of the religion decreed that it was wrong to eat meat. Thus, people who could not get meat, anyhow, felt that they were being virtuous in not having meat. We feel that there is much nonsense written about all these things. The meat eater likes to have meat. Well, let him. If the vegetarian wants to chew a stick of celery, let him have his celery, as long as he does not inflict his view on others. In the same way, if a person does not want to kill an insect and prefers to have his cancer virus or his tuberculosis germs instead of trying to get cured, well, that is his choice. We often get letters from people in great distress who tell us that such and such a person is desperately in need of help, of advice, or how they can hypnotize a person or force a person to a different way of life. We never help in such cases because we believe that it is indeed very, very wrong to try to influence the path of another person. In this course, for instance, knowledge is available. We state our opinions, we state that which we know, but we do not try to force you to believe. If you are taking this course, then, presumably, you are prepared to listen to what we have to say. If you do not want to listen to us, it is an easy matter to close the book. If you're asked to give an opinion, give it, but do not try to force your opinion on another person. And having given your opinion, let the whole matter drop because you do not know what the other person arranged as their path through life. If you're going to force a person to do something which they do not want to do, then you might be fixed with their karma. It might be an unpleasant karma, too. We want to say something here about animals. Many people regard animals merely as creatures who walk about on four legs instead of two. People regard animals as dumb creatures because they don't speak English or French or German or Spanish. But then animals regard humans as dumb creatures also. If you were truly telepathic, you would find that animals do talk, and they talk far more intelligently than many humans. Some scientists, as reported in a recent edition of the Scientific American, have discovered that there is a language of bees. Bees can give very detailed instructions to each other, and they even hold conferences. Some scientists became interested in dolphins, in their peculiar speech, or, as they thought of it, in the peculiar sounds which they make. These sounds were recorded on a tape recorder and then reproduced at different speeds. At one speed, the speech sounded very, very much like human speech. Animals are entities which have come down to this earth in a special shape, in a special form, in order that they may do their own task in a manner most suitable for their own evolution. We are in the fortunate position of having been associated with two Siamese cats who were quite phenomenally telepathic, and with these, after much experience, it is possible to carry out conversations in much the same way as one can with intelligent humans. Sometimes it is not at all flattering to pick up the thoughts of how a Siamese cat regards a human. If one regards animals as our equals, who are in a different physical form, one can get very close to them. One can discuss with them things which otherwise would be impossible. A dog, for instance, likes the friendship of man. A dog likes to be subservient because then he gets praise and flattery. A Siamese cat, on the other hand, often has quite a contempt for humans because a human, compared to a Siamese cat, is a very handicapped person indeed. A Siamese cat has remarkable occult powers and remarkable telepathic powers. So, why not get on good terms with your own cat, or your dog, or your horse? If you want to, if you sincerely believe, then you can, with practice, converse by telepathy with that animal. And so we come to the end of this course, but we hope not the end of our association. This course is a practical course which we trust has shown you how absolutely ordinary, how absolutely simple all these so-called metaphysical phenomena really are. We have another course which deals with the subjects on the more traditional style, giving you Sanskrit names, etc. We suggest that it is very much to your advantage to consider this course, because now that you have studied this far with us, assuredly you will want to go further. We will not say goodbye then, because we hope that you will join us for a little longer. Let us say instead, in Spanish, hasta la vista. End of lesson 30 and end of you forever.